Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church this Easter Sunday. This is the house that God has built and prepared for us to come and worship and praise Him. And He is risen. He is risen indeed. And I ask you, are you glad you are part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. The text for our message this morning is taken from Dr. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 32 through 33, and verses 39 through 42. These are familiar verses that we've heard time and time again, but I want us to look at them as we read Luke 23, 32 through 33, and 39 through 42. Two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His word. The subject of our message this morning is the two men who hung on the cross with Jesus at Golgotha, one upon each side. And we'll look at what they had crimes they had committed to be crucified, what was going through their minds, what they were saying, and the final resting place for their souls after they died on the cross. These two men had received the penalty of crucifixion for breaking man's law. Mark, in his gospel, tells us that these two were robbers. They were more than ordinary thieves because ordinary thieves were not usually crucified. The word robber denotes a thug who robs from the person of another through violence or threat of violence, who beats others to take goods from them or property from them. These men could very well have been cohorts of Barabbas, whom Luke tells us led an insurrection in the city and committed murder. And this morning we shall look at these two men and reflect upon the thoughts in their head as they inch towards that terrible, horrible death of suffocation and asphyxiation which crucifixion brings. And as we do that, I want us to relate their experience to our lives and to ask ourselves this question: on which side of the cross am I? First, we note that both these men started out with the same mindset on this cross of crucifixion. In the beginning, they both rejected Jesus. We're told in Luke that one of the criminals hurled insults at Jesus. And Matthew 27, 44 states, in the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. The legal condemnation of death on the cross for these men had caused their already rebellious minds and hearts to become even more enraged at Jesus. Mark's gospel tells us that the crucifixion began about the third hour or at 9 a.m. and that these men were already berating and taunting Jesus. Likewise, before we come to Jesus, we all are in rebellion against him. The Bible states that we rebel so much against God's word and against Jesus that God himself has to instill in us a desire to draw near to Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Look at the wording of this verse. Jesus didn't say, "No one will come to me." Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless God draws him." Our rebellious nature towards God is so powerful that we cannot even come to his Son, our Lord and Savior, without God drawing us near him. And at some point we have been just like these robbers which hung on crosses on each side of Jesus. We have come face to face with Jesus and have denied him as our Lord and Savior. But at this point, a miracle occurred, and the attitude of one of the men changed. So now, the men become separated because of their convictions. Luke records that the transformation occurred in the heart of one of the robbers. He saw Jesus for who he really is. Luke 23, 39 through 41. "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said, since we are under the same sentence. 'We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" Now, at this point, these two men hanging on each side of Jesus are espousing totally different points of view for the man on the cross in the center. One is mocking Jesus by saying, "Aren't you the king? Aren't you the Christ?" In other words, if you're a king, save yourself, and oh, by the way, save us also. This robber did not perceive the need for forgiveness. He probably didn't think that his crime should have brought upon him execution. He probably thought that crucifixion was not appropriate for the crime he had committed. And if Jesus comes down from the cross, this robber thinks he should come down also. His impending death and his spirit of rebellion had blinded him to see who Jesus really is. And how often does that happen to us today? Not that we are murderers, not that we are going to be crucified, but how often do we throw our shoulders back, hold our chest out and say, "I'm a good guy, I'm a good lady, I don't do all these bad things you read about in the paper, I don't commit adultery, I don't commit robbery, so I don't need Jesus. I don't need forgiveness." Folks, hell is full of those people who thought they did not need to turn to Jesus and receive the forgiveness. We've heard that to God, sin is a sin, and that is true, no matter the magnitude thereof. But the other robber was moved by Jesus' countenance. I believed he looked into Jesus' eyes and saw exactly what he needed: forgiveness. When this man saw the forgiving eyes of Jesus, he knew that Jesus was the Savior. When this robber, this hardened criminal, looked into Jesus' face upon the cross upon which he was dying, I believe he saw that Jesus' eyes were special. They expressed love, they expressed forgiveness, they expressed mercy, and they expressed grace to him. When this man looked into Jesus' eyes, he felt the forgiveness radiating from Jesus' spirit. He knew this was no ordinary man being crucified next to him. He knew his death was coming quickly, and he realized that it was a death he deserved. He didn't attempt to get Jesus to get him down from the cross, to remove him from the cross, to save his earthly life. All he said was, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." No more appropriate words have ever been spoken in a prayer of repentance. This robber didn't say, "Save me." He didn't say, "Have mercy on me." He didn't say, "Take me to heaven with you." He said, "Jesus, remember me." And Jesus, with those loving eyes, looked upon him and said, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Can you imagine the calm that must have befallen the spirit of this robber hanging on that cross? His body was still writhing and suffering in pain, and yet his soul was at peace. He who had once feared death's sting now looked upon it as a reprieve, because he had assurance that his place in heaven with Jesus was secure. There's a third fact we observe regarding these men hanging on the crosses next to Jesus, and that is that both men dictated their own destinies. God is a holy God. God is a just God. God is a loving God, but he also is a God who gives us free will, who gives us the opportunity to make the choice to love him, to make the choice to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior through faith, and accept the gift of salvation through his grace. He doesn't force it on us. God can make us all love him. God can make us all not sin. God can make us all perfect. But he gave us the choice because he wanted us to love him and obey him and follow him because we wanted to, not because he forced us to. And here we have this man who rejected Christ, and he looks upon his death as his final destination. He had no knowledge of the torment yet to come to him. I dare say that he believed the pain and suffering he was experiencing upon that cross was the most he would ever experience. And little did he know it was just the beginning. He viewed his crucifixion as a finality, yet Jesus taught that death is not final for anyone. It's simply a door to eternity. And the man who rejected Christ sadly received eternal damnation in hell. In Mark, Jesus tells us that hell is where the fire is not quenched. And such is the destiny of this man, because he stepped into eternity without the forgiveness of his sins by Jesus. And so many of us do that today. So many of us are going to join the church next Sunday. So many of us are going to give our lives to Christ next Sunday, next week, next month. And we end up stepping into eternity through that door without God's forgiveness, and we have eternal damnation. The criminal who received Christ did not look upon his death as the end of existence, but merely the end of the suffering of his life. He knew his present suffering would cease, and when it was finished, he would stand next to Jesus in heaven, not because of any good deeds he had performed. Look, think about these facts. He didn't have time to perform good deeds. He didn't have time to join the church. He didn't have time to be baptized. He didn't have time to make a tithe. All time permitted him to do was to repent of his sins and say, "Jesus, remember me." And as a result of that, his place in heaven was secure. Now, whether you believe in deathbed repentance or not, God's word says it so right here regarding this man. He didn't have to do anything but say, "Jesus, remember me." This man, this criminal, this robber is proof positive that a person is saved by grace apart from any good works or any good deeds. You know, the two men in our text today both had the same physical perspective of Jesus, and yet their spiritual perspective was drastically different. From one side of the cross, Jesus shone brightly like the sun in the eyes of the man he saved. And looking at Jesus was like gazing at the road to heaven and knowing that he was on that path and that nothing could stop him until he entered. This man was knew that he could view death and could conquer it by faith and forgiveness. But from the other side of the cross, Jesus must have looked very dim in the eyes of the other robber. The man who rejected him saw Jesus, and his spirit was not convicted. To him, Jesus was just another criminal, just another guy hung on a cross on a hill outside of the city. Both these men were condemned to death. Both these men were nailed to a cross and were crying out their last words on earth. And this man was only concerned with saving his own life. And yet he did not know how to do that. Today, people find themselves on one side of the cross or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no slot that says, okay, these are going to confess their sins in a month and we'll put them in a holding pattern and they'll be okay. These in 6 months. These next Christmas when we have our service. You're either on one side of the cross or the other. And from the side of the cross of those of us who have received Jesus' forgiveness and faith, he shines like the sun. He is our only hope, our wonderful assurance, and our blessed Redeemer. And from the other side of those who have never received such hope, Jesus is not assurance of eternal life. Jesus is not the Redeemer of sins. Jesus is not their hope. He's merely a religion among religions. He's merely an icon for those of us who follow him. But the questions we should be pondering today are, have I confessed my sins before God and fallen with my arms encircled around that bloodstained cross of Jesus, knowing that the only by the way of the cross do I receive eternal life? Or have I hardened my heart to the gospel and made the decision that I would rather die in sin than call upon Jesus for forgiveness? It boils down to asking that one question, friends. On which side of the cross am I? And if you would like to be on the side of the cross from which Jesus appears as that ray of hope, that bright shining hope that gives us everlasting life with him in heaven, you can have that today. You don't have to wait till next Sunday. You don't have to wait till Christmas. You can come and confess your sins to God and make a public profession of your faith, and we will rejoice with you. We'll give God all the praise for your decision, and we'll pray for you. If you would like to come and become a member of this church, this body of believers, we invite you to do that by coming forward and offering yourself as a candidate in any of the ways that we accept members. But most of all, friends, those of you who have not been on that side of the cross where hope shines brightly, where Jesus' eyes look upon you with forgiveness, and you know when you say, Jesus, remember me, that you will be with him forever. If you have not experienced that, we pray for you today. We ask that you to pray. If the Holy Spirit touches you, come forward, and we will pray with you and rejoice with you for your decision.